As you dive into this teaching from High Point Church, we pray that it will help you grow in your faith as you believe in, belong to, and become more like Jesus. If these messages bless you, would you consider giving back in support of this ministry? You can give and learn more about High Point at www.highpoint.church.
I'm wearing a suit and a tie. I'm standing. Yeah, that deserves some applause. I'm standing behind the same pulpit that I preached at 24 years ago. This isn't the same tie because it would be much wider. This isn't the same suit because I know I look good, but it would not fit. But seriously, I'm not saying I'm going back to this. I just want to make that abundantly clear. Next weekend, if you come, this pulpit won't be here, and I will not be dressed in a suit because none of you are. As a matter of fact, we've gotten to the stage where I see people come to church, and we dress a little down. I'm okay with that. But I got to be honest, man. Pastor Craig and his Nikes and all this stuff. Everybody wearing their designer shoes. I just want to tell you, Craig, that the Nikes you're wearing, I used to play basketball in them, not come to church in them. And that goes for the rest of you all, too. But seriously, some things do change. And that's okay. We got to grasp the fact that, yes, we live in a changing world, and there are things that have to change, and they change for the better. But some things, they're not supposed to change. They can't change. We can't let them change. What do I mean? I mean the Word of God, the centrality of the Word of God in our services, that can't change. Because Paul told Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 4, he said, give attention to the public reading of Scripture. Passionate, Spirit-led worship. That cannot change. Now, there can be new songs. There can be different instruments. It can look and feel a lot different in a lot of many ways. But it can't change. Why? Well, because John chapter 4 says that God is looking for true worshipers. And a true worshiper is someone who worships in spirit and in truth. And that's what we just did this morning. Can we praise God for the passionate, spirit-led worship that we have here? And then what else? Well, we gave a nod to the verse already. It comes from Hebrews. How about Jesus Christ himself and our love for him? Why? Because he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He never changes. What else? Is there anything else that we can't change, that we shouldn't change? I'm so glad you asked, because what that is, open your Bibles to Colossians chapter 4, because we've talked about the centrality of God's word. We've talked about passionate spirit-led worship. We've talked about Jesus Christ, our Savior, who we love. But now I want to give you 10 characteristics of what I'm calling a 3B believer. And so these aren't characteristics that I came up with. These are the ones that the Apostle Paul gives. We're coming to a close in our series entitled The Hero Series. Has it been good? And so we've been talking about these people that are behind the scenes. And Paul thanks 10 people. We've got 10 names. They each give us a characteristic of an unsung hero, which you and I are as disciples of Christ, as 3B believers. What's a 3B believer? Well, that's how we say it here. A lot of churches say it a lot of different ways. A disciple is a follower of Christ. A disciple is someone who's a learner. They're in progress. They've never arrived. Say, never arrived. Never arrived. We never will. But a 3B believer is someone who believes in Christ, belongs to Christ, and becomes like Christ. And so to believe in Jesus, John chapter 1, verse 12, probably one of the most foundational verses in the ministry that God's granted to me. For he says, for whoever receives him and believes in his name, to them he gives the right to become a child of God. Belongs. How about Galatians 2:20? For I was crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loves me and gave himself for me. And how about, what does it mean to become like him? Well, Jesus said, and he makes it clear in Mark chapter 10, verse 45, he said, I didn't come to be served. I came to serve. And so what's a 3B believer? Someone who believes in Jesus, belongs to Jesus, and becomes like him. And that's the journey we've been on for 24 years. And it's the journey that will continue. And so I want to do this. I want to kind of take a look in the mirror, each one of us, including myself. And I want to just look at these characteristics, these marks that the Apostle Paul gives us in Colossians. And so we've got a lot here, 10 characteristics. And by the end of the time, I'm just going to ask you to do this. We're going to be bold here. We're a transparent church. We're a transformational church that you'd be thinking about, what's the one that God wants me to work on? The one, the two. And then we're going to pray for each other. Sound good? All right, before we jump in, I got to do this because it's getting a little... Some people are really weird right now. They're like, oh, this has been terrible. I can't believe you got dressed up. Some people left. Other people are like, I can't come to a church like this where the pastor dresses so nice. So let me just dress down like all the rest of you in this moment. Let's go with the first characteristic. It's this. Put it up on the board. Surrendered. That we'd be surrendered and ready to serve. Ooh, I feel better. Craig, what size are your shoes? Can I flip those on? They're not going to fit me. His sons buy him his shoes. Let's just all be honest, okay? And they're expensive. Okay, surrender. And so Tychicus, which it's an interesting story because he did so much helping the church get started. We'll call him Ty for short. Paul gives three phrases. He gives us three phrases to help us understand him. And so he calls him a beloved brother. Man, that's what I want to be. He calls him a faithful minister. Man, that's what I want to be. And then he calls him this, a fellow servant. Man, that's what we want to be, is it not? And that's what our desire is, that we would be beloved and faithful and serving in the Lord, with the Lord, in his work, being called to his kingdom. That is what it means to be ready to serve. Sleeves rolled up, ready to go, all set. I mean, I'm ready for action, man. I want to go. Reminds me of the 24 people that helped get the church started. There was 28 of us, and I want to show you this picture. And so this is us standing outside the theater at Glenbard South High School a long, long time ago. And so I'm so grateful for each and every person as they took a step of faith, and we started praying in a basement in Glen Ellen. And then God just did something that we couldn't have imagined. And so some of the people, and they wound up helping us get started. And then they went back to the church that sent us out, and some of them helped get other churches started. Some of the people, they moved away. And, you know, I had, for one instance, this guy down south, his name is Anthony, and he surprised me 2 weeks ago. I hadn't seen him in 10 years. He was the first Christian, the first person to get saved in the ministry that I was involved in. And so we had been praying for somebody, man, to get saved, and it was him. And he walked into the doors a couple weeks ago, and he stood and he said, man, I got a farm down south. And he's like, and I'm looking at him, and he's got his friend with him. And he just said, I just wanted to come and say hello and just wish you the best. And so I'm thinking to myself, man, I'm getting old. But no, seriously, I'm so thankful for people who've invested themselves. Then there's people who've been here for the whole time. We had an opportunity standing on the end here, the tallest guy in the room, Bill Bonebreak, Bill and Dana, where are they at? Come on, give us a hand raise. I know they're in the house, and Bill is I saw him a minute ago. Yeah, I guess Bill just left. He's like, I've heard this message before. Oh, he's serving. Oh, okay, so now I get rebuked. He's serving. Why aren't you more like Bill and Dana Bonebreak? Just me. No, but so thankful that what they call themselves. Okay, now we're at a tangent. They call themselves 7 and 8 because they were the 7th and 8th people to jump onto this new work, and they've been serving ever since. And so I'm just really grateful that, as the prophet says, look and watch and be utterly amazed, because I'm going to do a work in your days that if I told you, you wouldn't believe it. And Jody and I are in a front row seat, man. We can't believe it. One church in 6 locations. What God has done. No man can do it. Only him. Amen? Amen. surrendered, ready to serve. Second thing is this, I got to get moving or I ain't going to get through these. Faithful. And so we give 110%. And so what comes next is Onesimus. And Onesimus, you may know from the Bible if you grew up in church that he's the runaway slave that's talked about in Philemon. And so he's a runaway slave. Paul had a great impact on him and his slave owner. And he's like, I got to get you guys back together. And so Paul makes him go back to Philemon, small little book, only one chapter. And it's all about reconciliation, reconciling to one another. And so Paul says, if Philemon says anything, if he asks the questions, if he against it or anything else, just tell him this, charge whatever you owe to my account. Paul was willing to do whatever he needed to do to get two people together to reconcile. And so we've been doing this for 24 years. The gospel has two aspects. Don't forget it, please. Yes, the most important is that we're reconciled to God, amen, through the Lord Jesus Christ and his suffering on the cross. But once we are reconciled to him, he wants us to be reconciled to one another. And so we, as a people of God, we are called to be at peace with each other. And so no matter where you're from, no matter what your color your skin is, no matter what, like God wants the church to be the model to the world. That's his desire. And so again, a little trip down nostalgia lane with the pulpit and the tie. I remember when we first got started in that first couple of prayer meetings and Jody and I just prayed, we just prayed and we were praying about diversity. And we're like, Lord, just allow our church to be more diverse than the neighborhood that we serve in. That was pretty hard with the neighborhood we were serving in. Everybody looked like me. I'm not talking about height. And so that was like, God, you're going to do it. And he's done it. We're one church in what? In four languages. Can we believe that? I mean, we are a multi-ethnic church, and we're so thankful for what God has done. And so Pastor Kiwan is in the service. Pastor Kiwan, could you just stand up for a moment? He's here, him and his wife, Dolly. So thankful for them. And so Pastor Kiwan he's going to get started on Easter. And so we're going to have a Korean church. And it's going to be right in the lobby right here. If you head out the doors, we remodeled that space for a chapel. And so Pastor Kiwan is going to start meeting there. And we're trusting that God's going to move because of your Limitless initiative. Let's just be honest for a moment. Hey, Limitless, two-year initiative coming to an end. We got a month left. Some of you are like, what is it? What was that? Well, it was a generosity initiative where we talked about God's got to do something in us before he does something through us. God has done something in us, and he is doing something through us. And please believe it. But sometimes God closes some doors, which we didn't expect. We didn't. Other times God opens some doors that we didn't expect. So we couldn't have taken the step of faith with building out that space and bringing Pastor Kiwan on our staff without the Limitless Initiative. We couldn't have bought the 7 acres in Africa, in Liberia specifically, and for a partner church, and we purchased 7 acres for them that they could expand the church that's growing, that they could expand the school that they're doing. They're going to put up a tent. It's going to be a place for a new work. Can we praise the Lord for his goodness opening doors? And so these are the things that God is doing, and he's doing things through us. So I got to teach you something. We'll put it up on the screen, please. Bear with me here. This is hello in Korean. We got 2 weeks to work on this. Are you with me? 안녕하세요. Okay, try it again. Kiwan, yell it out, please. 안녕하세요. Your turn. Oh, gosh. Lord, help us. Begin praying right now. So now we got to add not only hola to our vocabulary and privyet because of our Russian community, but now we got this. I literally picked up my phone because if Kiwan couldn't be heard, I was going to hit the app and play it for y'all. But seriously, God is doing a work. We're giving 110%. Next one is this. We're talking about characteristics of a 3B believer, relational. And these are the people that stand with you. walked in today and just walked to the back and just thanked some people. Man, they've been here a long time. And they've stood with Jody and I through thick and thin. God, we need each other. And so look at what Paul says. He talks about Aristarchus, and he calls him his fellow prisoner. Now, this is interesting because he's not in prison with Paul. Paul had his share of house arrests and imprisonment. Aristarchus wasn't with him in the prison. He was outside helping him. Reminds me of another door that God has opened faithfully regarding Stateville Penitentiary. Last week, if you were here, did we not get fired up with Pastor Rodney? And so we wanted to introduce another face of Limitless to you, that Pastor Rodney is going to be preaching in the jail today, that God has done an amazing work. And I'm thankful for the 40, nearly 50 guys who go there regularly to pour into the men. But we're like Aristarchus, we come in and then we come out. I don't even know if he was going in, but he was standing outside helping him. He was standing with Paul shoulder to shoulder, arm to arm, sometimes back to back, defending against the enemy and the advancement of the gospel. I'm so proud of a team that has done that. I want to just put up our elders of all our locations. We'll put this slide up on the screen. And I wish I had time to tell you the years of history that are here. But let's just take Naperville here, for instance. We got John and Teresa Lessig, who are sitting in the back here. And John's been with us for, John and Teresa, since we started. I mean, John got saved, one of the first believers in our church, and shared his faith with his family. And I mean, God is doing some unbelievable things. I think of the Levons, who've been with us here for nearly 15 years. The Lindsays were with us in the high school. Jim and Amy Park. Jim's the one who's teaching me Korean. He's not very good. Amy actually is a lot better. I could say so much. The Champagnes and the Callahans. I mean, so many stories of people who are standing with us, and their job is to help pour into you, to support the ministry, to encourage you, to disciple you, to train you. I mean, let's praise God for the servants at our church. Can we do that? The leadership team. Along with the 50-plus deacons that we filled the stage. There's no greater thing in my mind than to see 50 people across all of our locations that are stepping up. So with staff, with deacons, with elders, that's over 160 leaders. Comprehend that. 160 people who are leading the charge and listening to the Lord and moving forward. This ain't my show. This ain't our show. This is Jesus' work. And he's moving us forward. We've got over 500 volunteers in our church. I mean, God is doing a work. Next thing is this characteristic we're talking about. Next one, please. Humble. And we want to be willing to work things out. I got to sit on this one for a moment, because after 24 years, I've seen a lot of relationships and I've invested in a lot of people and I've seen a lot of things go well, and we've seen some things that didn't go well, and we got to be humble enough to learn and to grow. And so Paul, catch this name. He mentions Mark. Who's that? That's the same Mark that he left on the dock with his bags packed before he was going on the second missionary journey. Mark shows up. He's heading to spread the gospel. He's going, "You're not coming with us." Why? Well, we don't know. It says sharp disagreement. I think I can read between the lines. Paul's not happy, man. Like, something happened between them, and they parted ways, and some went with him, and his best guy went with him. But look, you know what it means that he included him? It means they reconciled. It means they forgave. It means they worked it out. It means at times we got to think the best and not the worst. Can I get an amen? We never judge motives. You can't judge somebody's motives. You can only judge sin. And so they worked it out. Pastor Craig, so thankful for his leadership here at our church. And Pastor Craig teaches these three things. He says, you've got three choices. And these are the three choices. If you know, you get in a disagreement, if things don't work out, if you get hurt, if you're in some kind of mess with another person, relational conflict. And so the first thing you can do is you can have resentment. And resentment begins to build. And resentment is in the mind and it's in the heart. And then the second thing is retaliation or revenge. And that's in your words and in your actions. Or the third thing is, can you guess it? Can you guess it? Can you guess it? Forgiveness. And so that does what? That lets go of the resentment. That lets go of the revenge. And instead of you taking it on, which is like a pill of poison, unforgiveness is like a burning hot coal in the palm of your hand. And the tighter you squeeze, the more it hurts you. And so we need to let it go. That's the literal definition of forgiveness. You need to drop it. Why? Because it's poisoning you. You need to let it go so you give it to God. That's what we need to do. And that's what Paul and Mark did. And we see it here in the text. Because we want to be at peace with all men. Hey, you got a grudge from 6 months ago, from 6 years ago, or anything in between. Like, man, you got to work it out. The Bible says, as far as it depends upon you, be at peace with all men. Does that mean we're all going to be best buddies and all going to hang out together all the time? No. You have affinity with certain people. But the gospel, remember what we said? The truth of the gospel. Onesimus, he was faithful to be reconciled. And then he reconciled with each other, even the one who treated him so poorly. That's a mark. That's a characteristic of a 3B believer. And I gotta be honest, man, it's not, that one's not an easy one. And Jody and I, you know, we always say it like this. Forgiveness is not forgetting. Forgiveness is remembering without the pain. So you got some pain in the remembering? Nah, you gotta get the process going. Important lesson for our church. Wouldn't be here today if we didn't understand that, the relational work that needs to be put in, humble, willing to work things out. Number five, we're halfway there. Just give a sigh of relief. I think I might put the tie back on. Missional. And so this defines who we are. And so we see the big picture. We don't get caught up in all these little things. There's so many times in the church where and in fairness, we've merged with some churches and we've have new people. And sometimes we don't understand that there's some things we're going to grab hold of with a tight fist, and there's other things we're going to let go of. Personal preferences, theological hobby horses. When's the rapture exactly? If you don't believe what I believe, hey, Jesus is coming back, man, settle down. I'd rather be on the welcoming team than the preparation team. I mean, it's just like there's some things we got to hold with a tight grip and other things that we just need to let it roll, man. And no, we're not going to let it roll that Jesus was born of a Virgin Mary. No, we're not going to let go of the fact that what? That Jesus was crucified on the cross, and we're going to celebrate, listen, repeat after me, bodily resurrection. That's important. Like that's his body, he rose. Like that's a non-negotiable. That's a clenched fist. Yes, he's seated with God at the right hand of the Father, making intercession for us. Yes, his work on the cross, there's nothing that we can do to add to it. Salvation by grace, through faith. I mean, those are the things. And this other stuff, man, the color of the carpet and whether he wears a tie or not, just let it go. We got to just let go. That's missional. That's seeing the big picture. And it's interesting that he mentions justice. And I think it's funny, the name justice. He wanted some justice, but he didn't fight for it. He just taught. And so he mentions the circumcision party. Those were the ones. We studied the book of Galatians this past fall. It was one of my favorite studies in the entirety of our church. And we learned an equation. The circumcision party was talked about in that book. And what that was all about was they were adding things to the gospel, remember? And so they were adding works and all kinds of things you had to do, whether it was serving or we won't get into what they were asking them to do. It was very painful. But whatever it is, that you can't add to the finished work of Christ. And so it's not about you being a good person. You're a rotten person. That's who you are. In and of yourself, you are a rotten, dirty, rotten sinner. Such an encouraging message. But I am too. And how quickly I can turn. It's kind of scary, isn't it? That the resentment and the bitterness can build up. And that's why we've got to forgive. But what did Paul teach in that letter? Quick review. Jesus plus anything equals nothing. Jesus plus anything equals nothing. Fill in the blank. But Jesus plus nothing equals everything. That's the gospel. And that's what we believe. And that's missional. That's seeing the big picture. That's why Augustine wrote this. He said, in the essentials, unity. In the non-essentials, liberty. In all things, charity. Next characteristic, number 6, dependent, leaning on God. That we got to, man, this is kind of nice, this pulpit. It's like you got a little thing here that holds your water. This is actually really nice. I think we're going to use this next week. Just kidding. But seriously, what's Epaphras praised for? Well, I want to take a trip down nostalgia lane because I want to give you two more names. And they should be carved right in here. And they were the people that were praying constantly, just like Epaphras. They were leaning on God by calling out to him. Two names, Mary Walski, Lou Ann Yarrow. Two women in our church, nobody knows them in here. Not one person. But I'm telling you, you know what happened as a result of their prayers. They prayed over every need. They prayed over every seat in their early days. They prayed over everything. They prayed for me. They still pray for us. Yeah, God called them to a different work. Yeah, they're over there. But we all need a Lou Ann and a Mary in our lives. Do we? Some of you have had the privilege of having it. And it makes all the difference in the world. Testimony after testimony, we stand up in here. Yeah, my grandmother prayed for me. I was off while we're here. And then she just never stopped. Can we be the ones that never stop? Because not only do we need a Mary and a Lou Ann, we need to be like Mary and Lou Ann. And so that's what we need to be for each other, for our family, for the church. Next characteristic, mark of a believer, a 3B believer, not just any believer. This is one who believes in Jesus, belongs to Jesus, and has a great desire to become like him. And they understand that I can't get there, but I'm trying my best. And so Paul thanks Luke, the beloved physician. And Luke was the guy who was with him the whole time. He wrote the gospel that bears his name. He took all the notes. And he wrote the book of Acts so that we know what happened in the early church. He was the historian. He's the one we lean on. He was a physician. And he laid his practice aside to be the traveling partner with Paul, to be Paul's personal physician. Because Paul was going through so much, and that's what he chose to do. He sacrificed. It was you before me. That's what his desire was. Are you living a sacrificial life where you're the young mom, and you know what? You get into this stage, and it's just like it feels like, oh, boy, I'm telling you what. That's all I'm doing is sacrificing for this little one. It's worth it. Are you sacrificing for your family and your friends in the workplace? Our single adults here, man, there's great sacrifices that you're making to what? Walk in a way that pleases God. I mean, these are important things that the Lord will provide blessing. So thankful for those who don't walk into a room and think about what do I need, what's best for me, and they think what's best for others. That's sacrificial. Life upon life, story upon story. Just got a text. It would have been this past week, and this one of the pastor friend of mine in Long Island, he texted me, and he goes, hey, do you remember this name? And he gave me the name, and I'm like, yeah, I think I do. And then he texts back. He goes, she's my son is gonna get engaged to her. That's why I'm not giving the names. I'm like, he told me not to say this. And their parents used to live around here, and they moved, and you baptized her when she was in middle school, in the high school. And I'm just like, yeah. And then I'm looking it up, and, you know, Facebook is really good right then. But the point is, I've baptized hundreds of people. We've baptized, hundreds of people at our church. Thousands of people. It's awesome. Probably my best memory for baptism. We weren't in a building. We didn't have a facility. And my dad died. I went home and did his funeral. And that night, I flew back for a Sunday night service. And the reason I did was because there was 40 people waiting to get baptized. And just think about that picture. I left the grieving. And it made sense to me now when Jesus said, let the dead bury their own. And I'm like, God's called me to something, man. And I'll never forget, that church was so gracious to open up their doors. They sacrificed. They let us do it. And it was one of the most meaningful things. So said all that to say this. Ron Zappia phrase. I say that when I'm like lost and I know what I'm doing. It's really for me. It's not for you. So just true honesty in your number four. I was like, I don't know what I'm saying right now. So I'm thinking of it right now. I'm grateful for those who sacrifice their time, their talents, and their treasure. And as we come to the end of our Limitless initiative, I want to thank you for stepping out in faith, because so many people have done it and God is using it to great degree. Three more. Sacrificial. Eight is steadfast. Keep going and growing. Demas is the only bad apple in the bunch. You can find his name in 1 Timothy 4, I believe. And this is not good. So Paul describes him as a person who he loved the world and he deserted Paul. And so I don't know. I don't think he came back. That's the implications. So this is not a good example, but a bad example. And when we let worldliness come in and when we try to straddle the fence between godliness and ungodliness, have you ever tried to straddle a fence? How about those kind of fences like this? That's not going to be comfortable. That's what we see, and that's what's happening. And so I love this pastor. He says it like this when talking about worldliness. He says, worldliness is whatever makes sin look normal and righteousness look strange. Righteousness, that's not cool. No, it is. Unrighteousness, it's not. Two more characteristics. We're talking about 3B believers, that they're generous, willing to share. So we got Nympha, and she's opened up her home. Hey, I'm in Nympha's small group. Am I the only one that kind of thinks that sounds kind of weird? So, hey, Nympha opened up her home, and we're grateful for that. And so she represents, remember, this is a time when the church, there's no mega churches, there's no this kind of thing going on. This is a different day. They're meeting in small groups. Yes, there's thousands of people that get saved at once. But the churches are like little small groups scattered all over. And so we have growth groups. And so thankful for those who open up their homes and provide hospitality. And that what? That we always use the phrase, get out of the row and into the circle. And the whole the bottom line there is the relationships. I've always said it like this. Like I don't say it to the church as much, but this is our objective. This is it. If you want to know what High Point's objective is, it's two-pronged. This is it. It's so simple. I'm a really simple guy, okay? I don't like the complicated. I've spent my life to try to take a really complicated book and make it easy. That's my life. And it's difficult in some places, but the message is simple. Simple enough for a child to understand. So I'm not going to be the preacher that's going to be flashy. I'm not going to be the preacher that's going to, whoa, how did he come up with that? I just want to point you to God's word and have you say, I could have done that myself. Because that's how the book can impact us. And so all we're trying to do around here is this, two things, stick you to the Bible and stick you to each other. That's it. True confession, some seasons have been greater than others in one of those two things. I meet people and they're like, yeah, I used to be at High Point. It was back in 2008 or back in 2012. I say, well, yeah, how come you left? Well, because of this. And I'm like, yeah, those were a couple tough years in that area of ministry. I'm humbling them. I know. Yeah, we didn't have that going real good. 24 years in the same church, Like, that's just any church. It's true. Like, we don't have it all together all at once. And so praise the Lord for how he's worked. Praise the Lord for the many. We're just trying to stick you to the Bible and stick you to one another. And it's really hard in our day to do that. But we believe you need each other. And some of the most pivotal relationships that I've had throughout my years come right from small group, from church relationships, from people who I've served with. Amen? One more. Reliable. Archie. Archippus. This guy, man, this is the best. Get the job done. And look what he says. What he says is pivotal. Underline this one phrase. Stick it on your mirror with whatever. Let your yes be yes and your no be no. He says, see to it that you fulfill your ministry. Don't give up. Don't throw in the towel. See, this is the true confessions, is that sometimes we release ourselves from ministry that we started before God does. Sometimes we release ourselves from commitment that God wants us to do before God wants us. Speaking truth at High Point, it's true. And so he's like, fulfill what I've called you to do. Now, that I'm not saying that you can never leave, you can never do anything, that you're going to do something your whole life. No, I'm just saying, what is the commitment that you made? So thankful for the people who, at the beginning of the ministry year, commit to serving in children's, like Bill and Dana Bonebreak. And then on the anniversary service, when they should be down here, joking, they're serving their commitment because they let their yes is yes, and they're fulfilling their ministry. And too often, people don't fulfill the ministry that they sign up for or that they get involved in or outside of here with that exempt organization that you're just volunteering for. Like, let me speak for them. Like, fulfill your ministry. And then this is a good practice. Hey, you know what? I just want to let you know that, sometimes we move, things change. But you go to the person and, hey, I need to be released from this. And I've been praying about this and I got this situation. That's how a mature follower of Christ handles things. Does that make sense? A little too harsh for the end? Fulfill your ministry, man. What's God calling you to do? Like, fulfill it, get it done, finish it. Just be honest, all candid. We got a check from a guy, a big check, a couple weeks ago. He moved down to Tennessee from another location, so none of you know him. And I'm just like, oh my goodness. We're just like, whoa. And he's like, hey, I committed to doing this for Limitless, and so I just want to finish strong. Like, I'm just like, whoa, that's pretty unusual. God calls us to different things. We shouldn't be embarrassed or shy about that. All I'm saying is this, fulfill your ministry. Fulfill what God's called you to do. What you start, may you finish until God releases you. Hey, how come you end on this one? 24 years. Like, I'm in the minority with our guys. Like, the guys I meet with, the guys I talk to, they're jumping around like I'm telling you, oh, we had this little problem, boom. Whoa, you got a nice church. Where? You're in Florida? Do you need an associate pastor? I'm just saying, please, this is not any pat on the back. All I'm saying is this, is that we've been here for 25 years because God hasn't released us. Because the job ain't done. Because the job isn't done. Because I haven't fulfilled what God's called me to do in the western suburbs of Chicago. As soon as I do, man, I'm the first one out. I didn't mean that to get a laugh, but actually, I think I'm doing pretty good. I'm just saying, fulfill the ministry that God's calling you. So I'm going to ask you all now, we're going to stand. We're going to close the service. I'm going to run out because I got to go over and challenge those people in Wheaton. And some of them are a handful, so begin praying for me. And I say the same thing about you when I'm there. So what we're going to do is we're going to put this on the screen. And what I want you to do is I want you to pick a number. And this is where the church began, and we've always been called real and genuine. And I believe that we are. But we're transparent because we're transparent with each other. So I'm going to ask you to pick the number, not all 10, pick a couple. And then I'm just going to say, turn to the person you came with, maybe a group of people, your family, or just if you want to be comfortable, if you don't want to talk to anyone or just want to pray yourself, just put your head down. That's the signal. I'm out. This is my first time here. I'm considering whether I want to continue now. I actually am not sure. I'll make the decision in the parking lot on the way out. But seriously, I want you to pick the number. And maybe you're just going to say, hey, you know what? This is a season. I got to just to be number six. You don't even say it. Just to the group, to your person. Number six. And I got to be dependent on the Lord because I'm going through. I got a couple decisions that I need to make. Would you pray for me? You don't have to be specific. Or maybe you're going to say, hey, you know what? This is a season where it's about faithfulness. And I just got to remain faithful in a difficult calling that I'm in. And all of us, we could all say surrendered. Man, there's just one thing. You could all pick number one. Hey, I need to surrender more. I'm kind of got to let go. So you got it? Say the number and then pray for each other. And then Pastor Cook will close us.